Welcome to Beyond the Chutes, is presented by Parasite Systems. BTC is on the road again. We are here in McBain, Michigan, at the wonderful, beautiful cow camp. We are sitting about 40 yards from the Buck and Chutes, from the announcer stand. And Sam, it has been a great weekend up here. Eli and Braden got married on Saturday night. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it was great. What a fantastic wedding, and I lost another one.
You lost another one.
There he goes.
There you go. Or you gained another one, maybe, is another way to look at it.
Well, once they're there, I don't think I gained much. But good for him. Beautiful young lady. Oh, just my. Extremely beautiful from a great family, you know, and I couldn't be happier for him.
You bet. And as I said, we are sitting here at a picnic table right outside the concession stand building on the rodeo grounds. And every Labor Day, they have a rodeo up here. And as a matter of fact, in 2023, it was voted the IPRA Outdoor Rodeo of the Year. So proud to be here with the family. And joining us today is going to be Mr. Star Houston. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you on the show. And Carrie, great to see you. Miss Carrie Houston is with us as well.
Well, good morning, Doug and Sam.
Good to have you with us this morning. As we said, beautiful weekend. We're sitting here on a gorgeous Monday morning and excited about what we're going to talk about today. There is so much history here, and I want to get into that history. I want to go back as far as you want to take us, Star. Take us to the beginning. Maybe how in the world did you guys come to have this great cow pasture that they call Cow Camp?
Well, it started with my mom and dad. Back before our days, they were into rodeo. My mother was a trick rider, and my dad was a pickup man. And then when us boys came along, it was just something that I guess we wanted to do, and my folks were definitely into rodeo. And we just started a little 4-H rodeo up here at camp, probably more than 50 years ago. And then it turned into a benefit for the Kidney Foundation. And then just it kept rolling. And now it's a IPRA rodeo. So
yeah, beautiful up here. And how many acres total on the farm here, the ranch?
There's 500 acres here. And then over, you know, there's some more land over by my folks. But Cow Camp is 500 acres. And it's just kind of neutral ground for all us kids. And we all... no one really claims it. We all get to share it. And when I say all, I mean everybody, the community. Okay. We have a lot of functions up here.
So. You bet.
So does the community pay the taxes for you?
Not so much. But we're pretty free. If someone wants to come up here and do something, we just say have at her. So
great.
And when did the Houston family purchase or gain the ground up here?
That goes back to my Grandma Houston. We could spend an hour talking about my Grandma Houston. She was a tough old broad. Mm-hmm. And her husband purchased this in 1927, which we actually just found that out a few years ago. We looked at the history and the deed, but they purchased it and they just turned cattle out here for pasture. And then I believe at one time, actually some wild horses got turned out up here.
Oh, wow.
With a good friend of my mom and dad, Roger Duvall, turned them horses out. But that's how this came about up here.
Okay. So farmers, ranchers, where did Grandma Houston come from?
I don't really know. I think the Houstons actually came from Canada.
Oh, wow.
But my Grandma Houston's mother and father actually had the general store in McBain.
Okay.
So I believe she was born and raised in McBain, Michigan.
Okay, so several generations here.
Yes, yeah,
oh my
for
goodness,
sure.
Did not know that. That's excellent. And started running cows, and you said wild horses. When did it get named Cow Camp, and how did that come about?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, the rodeo, when we had the rodeo up here, we were running cattle, and it still is a cow pasture, but then during the rodeo, we'd start, you know, we'd pen the cows up, and I assume at some point somebody seen the cows come walking up here amongst the campers and just said, you know, here we are at Cow Camp.
Yeah.
And so when you tell the boys to go do something. You say, go up to cow camp and do it.
Yes, we do.
That's how my pasture's at home. You know, go to the stud pasture, go to the cow pasture.
There you go. You bet.
It just sticks, you know.
It just sticks. Okay.
At one time, it was called the bus. Because the parents pulled in an old school bus and kind of made a home out of it as a weekend place.
Okay.
And one thing that's kind of a funny deal is the road coming off the blacktop that everybody knows of now. It's a dirt road.
Yeah.
But back when I was a kid, it was actually a two-track. Were brushing limbs with your mirrors, and there was grass growing in the middle of the road. It was a two-track all the way back here.
Wow. Well, as I said, gorgeous setting, gorgeous arena setup. And on Labor Day, you have now four performances of rodeo.
Yep. We did that last year, and that was actually my daughter's idea. We kept trying to figure out how to get more people in here because we don't want to turn anybody away. I mean, it's not good business, and we don't want to see anybody get turned away. So she said, well, let's just have another performance. And I think when she said that, everybody kind of rolled their eyes a little bit and sounded like more work, which, you know, we're not against work, but it was kind of a gamble. And I can say right here today, it paid off. I mean, we were able to get more people into the rodeo, and it just was a big asset to our weekend.
We moved the Friday night family fun night to Saturday afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And it really brought out the children and the families.
Nice.
Yeah. And we were even told that it's so nice because it's an earlier performance and that people can bring their kids and still be home, you know, by dark.
So is that a 2:30 performance then, or what time?
1:30.
1:30.
And then we open up the arena 1 hour before and have special events for the children.
Oh, nice.
To do.
Yep. Okay. So come and hang out for a while.
Yes.
Opens up on Friday night, Labor Day weekend, 7:30 show?
7:30.
And then afternoon on Saturday, 1:30. And then again Saturday night and again Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
When you said the times, it is a note that Doug Simcox announced this rodeo.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Back
in 2000.
Day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Two years.
Oh, yeah, I did a couple years up here.
Cool.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Great place to, great crowds. And, just a great rodeo.
Once again, start them guys and they take off on you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, like, and then I think there's even... In fact, I know there's some video of Sam Swearingen riding saddle bronc up here.
Yeah, so. Competed a couple times up here.
Yeah, and Eli Hirschberger was watching it and seen him get bucked off, and he commented that Sam Swearingen said he never got bucked off. But so it's on video.
Well, let me tell you a story about that.
Yeah, you remember?
Well, I don't remember getting bucked off because, you know, who remembers the bad thing?
Yeah.
But it was... I was flying everywhere that weekend, and they lost my saddle. I had to ride in somebody else's equipment. That's funny that I got bucked off. That's very strange, but it did happen.
It did happen on occasion.
Yeah. Towards the end of the years, it didn't happen much because that ground got hard, so you learned how to hang on. You might not place, but you learned how to hang on.
Yeah.
But,
you bet. You just do a lot of history. Right, sitting around the table here. BTC comes back. Kind of a reunion, Sam. You get that?
This is great.
and talk about reunion, and that's what it felt like on Saturday night. Man, the family turned out. Five brothers.
Yes.
Five boys.
Yep. Dallas Bonnie is the oldest, then Denver, Laramie, which everybody knows him as Lum, and myself, Star, and Laredo. We have five boys and a great mother, obviously.
Bonnie, Miss Bonnie. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Miss Bonnie. And I had the honor of meeting her when I came up here, and that was so very, very special.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if Sam's ever eaten at the rodeo in her camper, but I've had a lot of people tell me that was a highlight of traveling. And she would take her motor home to all the rodeos that we went to, and after the rodeo, people would line up, and she wouldn't stop till everybody that wanted to eat had something to eat.
Oh, that's neat.
Wow, nobody told me about that.
Oh, you know? Did?
No, okay. I never ate at the pier.
Oh, okay.
But we did. We talked quite often. She was so friendly and so nice. You know, it didn't matter where you're at. She would talk. And I remember, you know, Denver hauling stock for Zinzers all the time. And you just got to know him a little bit. You know, he always had, the trucks were immaculate. And, you know, and I'm not much of a truck person or a truck driver or anything, but you just went over and you started visiting after you've seen them quite a bit, you know. And
class act.
Oh, amazing. And Bonnie was just nice to everybody. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah.
And she had quite her own career in the rodeo arena. Started pretty young. So step us through that a little bit, Star.
Well, she started as a rodeo performer. I mean, trick ride. And I believe at a very young age, I mean, in her teens.
Yeah.
And I believe that started when she met my dad, Bill. And then they worked for Roger Duvall, who had a rodeo company. He was from McBain, a real good friend of the family's, and just went on from there. And when we talk about the history of cow camp, I would have to say my mother was probably the biggest influence or the
biggest instigator.
Yeah, the biggest instigator, made the biggest push to, you know, just make sure the rodeo went on. In fact, we had two rodeos a year for many years, a Memorial Day and a Labor Day. And then, you know, and she worked harder than anybody else, I can tell you that. And so she was the biggest person that put on the rodeo, I would say.
Yeah. And her and Bill both grew up in McBain in the general area?
Yes. My dad obviously grew up in McBain with his mother, Helen, but my mom was from Merritt.
Merritt.
Merritt, which is about 30 miles to the east, and that's where I found my gal, too.
Oh, it Merritt. Is Merritt.
Yep. And my dad always said that, you had to go to Merritt to find a good gal.
Okay.
So,
go east, young man.
Go east, young man. So,
well, 30 miles back in that day was a bit of a travel.
It was.
It was worth the drive.
Yeah.
It was worth the drive, absolutely. So how did they find rodeo, Bill and Bonnie? How did they even come across it?
I believe Roger Duvall. Right.
Could be. And then Bonnie's brother, Alfred, was in it. He had Bull that he did
Buford
tricks
the Bull.
With.
And he had actually quite a few. And I know you guys had an interview with Toad Cook.
Yeah.
And he actually used one of Alfred's bulls at one point, had a, I believe.
And then they had a bucking Ford machine.
Yeah.
And they all just jumped in, and like some men would dress up as women.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was cool. The Ford bucked and bucked them out. And,
I believe back in the day, it was more of a Wild West shows than show pockers. They would come up here. I know one of the first rodeos up here was in Cadillac, Michigan, and I believe it's Ralph Schopacher.
Okay.
Kenny Schopacher's dad had put on the rodeo up there, and I just, you know. And in fact, as I think about it, when we started growing up, I kind of almost think my folks maybe, I mean, they wanted us in rodeo, but there was other things. But we grew up watching the old rodeo films, and which we still have. And I believe
Sam's
in it. Yep. No, we actually do have every rodeo on 8mm.
I was going to say, if I'm in it, it must have been 8mm.
Yeah, no. And VCR tapes. And so we grew up watching them. So I believe there was just no way to keep us out of it.
Okay. So the Houston family's been steeped in rodeo from the very, is that a good way to put it?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
Absolutely. And that continues today.
Yes.
I mean, we had the pleasure of meeting and talking with, when Sam and I were at the IFR, had the pleasure of meeting Blaine. What a great young man, bareback rider. I get to talk to him on Saturday night. He's got the belt buckle for winning the round. And just how fun and what a cool kid and what a tremendous talent. And he's headed to Texas.
He is. He's going to go to
West Texas Community College, compete
and
on their rodeo team.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. It's quite a ways, but I believe we're all going to probably make the trek down there now and then.
Oh, definitely.
Watch some rodeo.
So. That's excellent. And I got to see Trace. He was at the IFR. I didn't get a chance to talk to him here. Good to catch up with him. Just a neat young man.
Yep.
We're so thankful for our family being part of it, because I depend on Trace to get Blaine off the horse. It's just safely.
Yeah.
Yep. And I there's just so many grandchildren now coming up. So I assume that the future of rodeo for the Houstons is going to be very strong.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And what's interesting, there was just, and maybe you guys saw it, I think it was on the IRA project page. Somebody asked a question about Michigan rodeo. Is there Michigan rodeo? And what a conversation that followed that. And of course there is. Your rodeo here, and of course, Jay Barjay comes up, and just the legacy of rodeo in Michigan is tremendous.
Well, I had a chance to talk to Mike Fletcher when he was up here for the wedding, and he said he would come up to rodeo in Michigan for, he said decades. I'm sure it wasn't quite decades, but, and if you talk to a lot of the top guys now and back in the day, Michigan had a good run of rodeos, and there's a lot of guys that came up here to compete.
You bet.
Yeah, we would usually come up to Michigan from, you know, when I started, Friday nights, because you could go Friday. Everybody else wanted out Sunday at Zinser's, so you'd come Friday and then go back the other way instead of going to the west.
I see.
And they were great, you know, great rodeos.
Yeah.
And when I came to theirs, they had Jim Zinser had Sparta, Michigan in the afternoon. You could go there in the afternoon and come up here at night.
You bet.
And never stayed at Sparta. It was a wild place, they said, you know, but never stayed and came up here. And they said it was a lot of fun, but never stayed.
Yeah.
Mike, that brings up a point. I was talking to Mike again about that. And that is one rodeo that I'd never been to is the Sparta Rodeo. Because,
really?
Well, because ours was Labor Day weekend.
You're working.
Yep. We were always busy up here. Yeah. And, you know, but I think the two rodeos did work good together, like Mike said.
So. Yeah. And you must have not sanctioned this at the IPRA for years because I didn't come up till like the last 2 years that I rode.
Right.
So didn't know what was going on.
Oh, wow.
But you could have done it every year if you'd have known.
Right. So what were you, mid-states?
Mid-states. But then for, you know, in the very beginning, I remember, you know, bucking calves out of the rope and chute, and we had Sioux gates for our fronts of our chutes, and you know, it was just a fun happening.
Yeah.
And you know, but then it did evolve into probably the mid-states, and I'm trying to think what other association would be, but then we went to the IPRA and we've found a real good home there.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, congratulations, 2023 IPRA Outdoor Rodeo of the Year. That is spectacular. And when I met you, Star, you were picking up. But take us back a little bit earlier in your rodeo career.
Well, I started riding bareback horses probably in 4-H rodeo and then went to the mid-states and talk about the history of Michigan rodeo. There, Bob and Jane Spence had a rodeo company, and we went to their rodeos. And one day, Bob Spence passed. And then Jim Fusey ended up buying the rodeo, and I don't know how much of the actual equipment, whatever, but he ended up putting on rodeos, and Jim Fusey picked up for years, and he when he bought the rodeo company, he asked me to start picking up, and that was 40 years ago, and I've been picking up ever since. And I always thank Jim Fusey for letting me pick up. I when I started, he had an old horse. His name was J2, and it came from Webb Becknell. And Jim just said, yeah, just get on that horse. And I used him for 2 or 3 years and never paid for him. And finally, finally one day, you know, maybe the conversation come up and Jim said, hey, are you going to buy that horse? And my dad told me that if I'm going to be a pickup man, I'm going to have a good horse. And I remember me and my wife had quite a conversation because that horse was going to cost $1,000.
Oh, my.
And it was. That seemed like a lot of money. And we bought the horse, and I've been actually picking up ever since.
Yeah. So. Did you earn enough to pay that horse off?
Yeah, I believe so. But as Sam knows, back in 1980, picking up didn't pay much. Probably rodeoing might not have paid a lot either, but.
And it still doesn't.
For
what the pickup men?
Oh yeah,
pickup men and rodeo secretaries are the two underpaid people in the business.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta love it. That's for sure. But and I do love the fact of riding good horses. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it takes quite a horse.
It does.
It takes quite a horse to do that. And you're still picking up.
I am.
You're up. So come up here on Labor Day weekend. We're going to see you out in the arena?
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. And still with your partner in crime, Stuart Pletcher?
I am. Me and Trace actually pick up been picking up cow camp for the last few years.
Oh, yeah.
Stuart's busy.
He's producing the rodeo.
Yep, he produces. So he's busy in the back pens and, you know, out front of the chutes. So,
yeah.
Speaking of picking up with Trace, there's probably nothing better than being able to pick up with your son.
Mm.
And
it's
just something I enjoy, and I hope I can do it for a while. Yeah,
you bet, you bet. And what a great job he's doing. Of course, he's doing a great job. Get selected for the International Finals Rodeo to go pick up.
So, yeah,
and did a wonderful job down there. I remember meeting you and Stuart. We were at Lisbon, Ohio. I believe that was a Jim Fusey rodeo.
Yeah.
And you took me up to the top of the hill on horseback. Do you remember that day?
I do.
Man, that was steep.
I do. That was a good old rodeo. And went there for years.
Yeah.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Are they back up? Are they doing it again, the Hopples?
I believe so.
I think so. I think like Buckeye Rodeo.
I believe so too. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, still is, but back in the day that was the rodeo to go to.
That was an amazing rodeo.
Yeah.
It, you know, it added $3,000 or $5,000 back in the early '80s.
Yeah.
And, Jay Bar Jay put it on, and it was
okay.
It was one of those freaky rodeos for me. Sometimes you do crazy, you know, and I won the bronc riding, but I won the team roping there 1 year. It's like, how the heck? Well, no, I did not win it. I placed.
Okay.
I broke out to win it.
You remember then the arena, it was like a cow pasture. It was so big. I think maybe 200 or 300, 200 by 300 or something.
Yeah. Three-inch pipe.
And
If you hit it, you knew it.
Yeah. And everybody sat on the hill.
Yes.
Bobby still sits on the hill.
Yeah.
Still huge, steep hill. I mean, all the way to the top, you can see the house. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was Mr. Hopple did it at that time.
Yeah, Carl Hopple. You talk about going up that hill, maybe one of the first or second times I was there, my kids wanted to go up, and Miles was probably 5, and Ty was 3, I'm not sure. So we walked up the hill, and I carried Ty, and Miles walked behind him. And on the way home, we took a wrong turn and ended up Miles from where we should have been. And finally, we got to the blacktop road, and somebody picked us up and gave us a ride back to the arena.
And you made the performance?
Yeah.
Just got to be there before the grand entry starts. That's all.
That was tough.
And are you still picking up today? I know you're doing here. Are you traveling a bit and picking up?
Yeah, doing actually quite a few rodeos this year, working for Stuart Pletcher and Flying Star, and then another rodeo company, a Super Kicker. But yeah, doing lots of rodeos, doing all I want anyway. So
good. And Stuart's rodeo company, Twisted Pea, did I see that?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So some of the other family members going down the road right now. Who else you got out there going?
Well, Blaine's, and I don't know if anybody's really traveling. I mean, Blaine is hitting it big. I mean, he's going all over the country.
Yeah.
But his little sister,
Tessa, is going to be going to Des Moines, Iowa, for the junior high national finals.
Goat roping.
No, she is
pole bending.
Pole bending and barrel racing.
Barrel racing.
And truly knocking it out of the park. I mean, she is.
Yeah.
Yes,
really doing she's
good.
Doing
okay.
well.
Okay.
You ran into our other granddaughter, Charlie Scott, and she'll be going to the National High School Finals in goat roping.
In goat roping,
And then my daughter,
she
actually trains barrel horses and goes to rodeos and for charities. There's a lot of...
Kara Houston.
Yeah, Kara Houston, excuse me. And
Haley Houston competes in barrel racing. That's Denver's daughter.
Okay.
But then the rest of them are, you know, just a little bit too young.
Okay.
But they'll be going.
Coming up into it.
Yep.
Time for little britches and all the locals and that sort of thing.
And it's wonderful. They all work together. Tessa just finds Kara amazing with the horses. And she goes up there every night after school and practices.
Yeah.
And Kara's local here?
What's that?
I mean, she lives in the McBain area.
We all live within, within 3 miles of this place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good or bad, we all live.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, my I have three boys and a daughter, Miles, Ty, and Trace, and Kara, my daughter. And at the moment, we all live within about a mile of each other.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And five brothers responsible for this. I can't imagine it's anything but good times and great discussions and great agreements, and everybody agrees on everything all the time.
Yeah, you just keep thinking that. No, I will say, though, we can fight like cats and dogs, yep. But when it comes down to getting it done, we all come together and have always been like that. So. Yeah.
And you said 50 years ago this all got started. Is it exactly 50?
I actually think it's a couple more than that. I say I was so young that I can't remember, but I mean, I'm 58 years old, and I think, you know, I was 6, 7, or 8 when we were bucking calves out of the rope and chutes. Okay.
And talk a little bit about your father got very sick, right, with kidney disease. And my understanding, one of the first people in the country to get a kidney transplant.
Yes.
If not the first one.
And he was the longest surviving one when he passed away.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
And truly did not die of kidney failure.
No, it was congestive heart failure.
Yeah. No, that was one of the things that was still working on him. So.
Yes.
No, my dad was sick my whole life. Growing up, when I was real young, I mean, he was still out riding, and, you know, he was the guy to call when there was loose cattle out in the country. And I remember going with him in Dallas, and my mom and my other brothers. I was pretty young, but, you know, he was still cowboying. But then, he ended up with kidney disease, and, you know, it took a toll on him. Yeah. So.
And he lost both of his sisters to kidney disease young.
Yep.
Oh, wow. But he was quite a smart man. He was a cattle buyer, lamb buyer. He had lots of cattle. He leased property to put cattle on, or he bought it.
Okay.
Owned a sale barn in Marion for years, and just till he got too sick. And,
and I think that all came from his parents. His mother, our Grandma Helen, was such a smart lady, and she was the first bank teller in McBain.
Oh,
she
really?
She had the first bank account in McBain, 0001.
Which I still have, by the way, Carrie.
Do you?
I don't
really?
Know if you know
You
that.
Still have that bank,
bank
account?
Bank account, yeah.
How much is in it right now, Star?
About $1,000.
Is there that much? Wow. Was that your grandma's money still?
No.
She lived through the run on the bank?
Yeah.
And left her money there just like everybody else. She knew what was coming, but she was not.
Yeah, there's quite a story there. She told me one day that her husband had never forgive her for that, because she knew the banks were going down, but she didn't think it was fair that they drew their money out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I might be a little upset myself.
But what a predicament she was in, right? From an ethical standpoint. I mean, insider information.
Yeah.
Easy to pull your money and go.
That's the kind of gal she was. Yeah. I mean,
she lived through bank robbery.
Yeah. Got locked in the vault. And I said, she was quite abroad. I mean, and she had a lot of stories, but she was the most honorable.
Yes.
Person that I probably had ever been around, and I think about her very often because of that.
Oh, wow. And to think in 1927, 2 years before the Great Depression, you buy the land. And how do you hustle and keep it all together when everybody was losing land?
Right.
I mean, everybody was going out.
I don't know that we know how much they paid for it, do we? Or?
No, I'm sorry.
That would be something.
I wouldn't want to quote it.
Yeah.
No. I have a figure in my mind, but.
What would you think it was back in 20?
I remember something about $110.
I would imagine. Yeah. For pasture back then, And you never farmed it. It's always been cattle.
No.
No crops.
Right. No.
Okay. Right.
Right. And like I say, it's kind of a unique piece of ground because we all claim it as our own, but it's very, we all have a say in it and no one lives on it.
Okay.
And, you know, as far as anybody in the family can use it like their own.
We gather here at Christmas.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Everybody brings dishes to pass, and then we all leave. And we just keep it clean. We don't really set it up for the next person, because the next person, you don't know what's going to happen here. Graduation party, wedding. So.
Yeah, there was a graduation party here not so long ago when Blaine graduated, right?
His actually was at home, but there will be one here next weekend. But
From the community, right?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Wow, it's going to come up
a
and use it.
A girl that is with Michigan High School Rodeo Association, in which we hosted the state finals here last weekend.
The high school finals. Yeah.
And it was so good. I mean, we've gotten to know the kids so well. There was 19 seniors graduating, and was going to be their last rodeo. Okay. And they love this place because of all the trees. They call it home. It's easy. We put on a meal. We put on a meal Saturday night and Sunday night. And they sure appreciated it with an ice cream machine going.
Yeah.
But those kids will be one girl, Claire Bjork, will be going to Tarleton. Blaine is going to West Texas. Trey Scarlevi will be up in Nebraska, North Platte, Nebraska. Treg Hoover is going to Missouri Valley College, all on the rodeo team. Joseph O'Connell will be in Wyoming, about an hour north of Cody, competing too. So there's a lot of high hopes for Michigan.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. Well, and I got a question, you know, in today's world. Does Michigan have the equine law where if somebody gets hurt?
Yes.
I believe so. I mean, at least we put up the signs that way, and I hope that's the way it is. So,
and that's just wonderful because it takes a lot of pressure off, you know, when, especially you're inviting people in.
Yep.
York does not have that. And that's one of the reasons I never did anything, you know.
Oh.
Through the winter, I should have put up an indoor arena and done all this. But, you know, why do it for somebody to take it away from you?
Right on.
And it's true.
Yeah, right on.
It is true.
No, I think what we're doing up here is I'd like to think we're creating cowboys and cowgirls.
Well, sure. Sounds like it. Yeah.
And Bonnie was so big in that. She always would grab, if I didn't have time to take my own kids, she would take them. And there was three different arenas in the area. And she would compete even against her own grandkids.
Okay.
You know, at these
very,
family
very
fun
competitively.
Nights.
Very competitively.
Yep, yep.
Smack talk and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it was tough. It was tough. So, yeah. And I will say, as far as Bonnie Houston, she always had the kindergartners up here. That was just something she always wanted to do and have. They'd ride horse and
field trip.
Field day. And my daughter-in-law, Jessica, this year started that back up.
I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah. So and that was kind nice. Of, we all said that's kind of a tribute to my mom.
You bet.
Yep. And then one of my good friends started this Spurs event, Special People Understanding Rodeo Skills up here. It's always in the beginning part of May. And she had two disabled daughters that are twins, and they do very well together on their own. But we have a lot of things going on that day, and we still continue that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Carrie, a nurse, I mean.
We had close to 100 participants this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the volunteers that show up are just incredible. If there's 100 participants,
there's
probably 200 people helping.
It's a good day. Everybody goes back with a blessing.
Yeah.
And that is such a blessing. You know, I so enjoyed doing the special kids rodeos everywhere you did. But had one this year, and I was down in Montgomery, Alabama, and the lady that does it, that was her. She's very affluent, amazing woman, has so many irons in the fire. But this was her to go to. She loved doing the special kids. And I was walking out, it's pretty much done and over with. And they were giving rides on the horses and things like that takes a lot of people to do that.
Oh, yes,
plus
we
the right
did
horses.
That, yes.
And this one guy in the wheelchair, they were taking him out, and the lady, you know, said, "Man, he wanted to just touch a horse, you know, just wanted to touch a horse." And I said, "Well, let's go." And so we had to. And they had, plywood on there to put the wheelchairs up to the horses and stuff.
Ramps.
And I have video. Oh, my God. So heart-touching. That horse stuck his face right down next to this guy. And just the guy blew up, you know. And he did it two or three times.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have asked for anything better. And when they took the guy away, he was squalling. Mm-hmm. He just,
touched
him.
Yeah. It brings tears, a lot of tears that day.
One of my favorite announcers, John Downing, said there's nothing better for the inside of a child than the outside of a horse.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah.
True.
And the connections that are made, and that's great. So Spurs, it's called. Mm-hmm. And that's in May.
Yes.
And can, if we're up in the area, you just stop by and come take a look?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we've talked about the family. So tell me about Travis.
Well, Travis was Denver's son, my nephew.
He was born in 1982, but March of 2002, we lost him.
He was on the way to a rodeo in Georgia and died in a car accident. And actually, it was on my birthday, so it's something that I get to remember every year. But just what a cowboy. I mean, he was a cowboy from the day he was born and till the day he died. He was the oldest of my folks' grandsons that, you know, was into rodeo. And just whenever I had cow work to do, Travis was there. And just, I'll just say it again, just what a cowboy.
Well, he was the up-and-coming saddle bronc rider of the family. He was showy, and he was so nice. And he was always helping special needs children. He had the heart.
My three boys all rode broncs, and I can tell you it's because of Travis. Miles was 5 years younger than Travis, and Travis was just such a hero to them guys. And, you know, and he rode broncs. So, of course, my boys had to ride broncs. But what a loss. I just want to say it just saddens me to even talk about it today.
My daughter has a hard time with it. She was born 8 days after Travis, and they rodeoed together in their high school years. There was actually four of them that went together, is Travis and Billy Lynn, and then Justin and Adam Scott. And then that same year, we lost Adam in a bull riding accident. Rodeo is good. It brings us together, but there are some sad departures too.
Yeah. And the wonderful memorial garden you have set up for Miss Bonnie and for Travis here on the rodeo grounds behind the grandstand area.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, we talk about all the reasons we do rodeo, and Travis would be one of them.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well, when that's your passion, that's what you want to do. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He lived doing what he loved.
Oh, and that's all he... That's all he was, is a cowboy.
Yeah. You know, when our kids do this and they get on and the road, my mother always said it's the road that scares me the most, you know, which is true, but we're out there living what we want to do, and Lord had other plans.
And one of the things that was so impressive, I don't know how many people were here on Saturday night, sit down on the tables there, and everybody's got china. There's china plates. There's no paper plates. And guess what? There was no caterers cleaning up the tables, and I watched them wash them in the wash drums over here, mm-hmm. wash bins, whatever you want to call it, and they washed every one of those plates. Your mm-hmm. crew did.
Yeah.
So that is amazing when the family comes mm-hmm. together like that.
Yep, and as far as the wedding goes, I just want to say, you know, that Eli Brain's wedding, Sam says he lost another one, but we sure gained a good one.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, he is a good boy, and you know, he's got a heart of gold. And
you bet.
He's just a good kid.
Yeah, and I was talking to Carrie earlier. So great, and he and Blaine can travel together. Oh my goodness!
So wonderful.
You bet.
Yep.
You bet.
Eli has probably 10 years on Blaine, but so smart.
That's going to work both ways. Mm-hmm. It just does. What do they say? Iron sharpens iron, right?
Yeah.
A little push and a little pull and a little challenge here or there. And next thing you know, you got more money and you know what to do with, right?
I don't know if we've ever felt that.
If you know Eli, he's going to hoard it. So,
yeah, that's good.
But he bought a house, he said.
Yeah, I was so impressed. Yeah, good for him.
So settling in the community. And that's a word that keeps coming up in my mind is, and you actually use that word, Star, when we opened up. This is about the community up here.
It is.
You know, whether it's Spurs or high school rodeo. And I love what you said, you know, tying back to the IRA project saying, is there rodeo in Michigan? Well, the question is, are you watching the Michigan rodeo cowboys and cowgirls that are going out into the world right now? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be in the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association. You can follow them, so check them out.
Yes.
Yeah, yep. That's going to be great.
It goes to say, too, Doug, as far as, like, you know, this rodeo we've have up here, Labor Day, is, you know, it's very successful, but it's because of the community supports, you know, with sponsorships. But the volunteers,
yes,
that we get up here, I mean, lifelong friends now,
yes,
I would say.
Yep.
I mean,
this is just like running a fairground up here, yep, that
and
week.
There's a couple people that help me out, and they come up a week before.
Yeah.
And we just start tearing into stuff, and we always have a project, and they're just like part of the family.
You bet. You bet. And how big is McBain? What's your community? I mean, is it 300?
No, no. It's probably 1,200.
Oh, is it 1,200?
I was thinking 900, but 900? I don't know. Right in there. The whole county is 14,000.
Okay.
But we have two stoplights in the whole county.
In the whole county.
Oh, yep.
I was going to say,
they're both in Lake City.
Yep. Mike Fletcher and I stopped at it down by the diner, I think, in McBain.
There might be two stoplights, but there's only one that changes. Because the one in McBain is...
Well, we sat there for like an hour.
Okay.
Because it never changed.
Okay.
Is that one?
There's only one true stoplight.
Stoplight in McBain.
That changes.
But there's two working lights in Lake City.
Yeah.
So. And three horses and buggy go through there a year.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is you gotta kind of know how to find the cow camp.
Cow camp.
Now, here's what I do know. I was in Cadillac, and I punched in cow camp, and it gave me the directions to get here, just so you know, on GPS. So
was it the correct directions?
Oh, absolutely. Rode me right up to the camper over there. Absolutely. And I say that in the size of the county and everything, because you see, what, about 2,000 here?
Yeah, I would say more than that.
I was thinking 25 to 3.
Yeah, we put a bunch of new bleachers in last year.
We add two temporary portable bleachers.
Yeah. And I'm just saying to our listeners, if you're looking to come up here on Labor Day, get your tickets. They can get their tickets now.
It's really first come, first serve.
Yeah, well... Yeah, get early, I guess.
Okay,
we always
fair
do.
Enough. Get here early. And so 7:30 start, the arena opens at an hour before, and there's stuff going in there for the kids so we can entertain. You got all kinds of food going on, right?
Yes, we do have vendors coming in.
Vendors. And actually the camping, there's camping all weekend too, and that starts Thursday morning. And they
roll in.
How many campers will you have in?
Everybody always asks that. I mean, there's 500 acres here, and there's campers on. I don't want to say on every bit of it, but it's surprising the spots that people find, you know, back in the woods, and it's really neat to see.
So we estimate between 400 and 500 campsites.
Yeah. 400 to 500. Wow. And they can come in, stay all weekend, no issue.
Trail riding.
Trail
their
ride.
Horses. They bring
your
horses.
Lots
their
of okay.
Dogs. Yeah.
Okay. And parties are minimal. No big deal there. Stays pretty quiet. No kind of ruckus.
We have a band that plays up here, so kind of keep everybody up here.
Okay.
But we do have security.
I'll add something to that. I think when we were younger, you know, we were probably part of the problem. As kids, you know, we wanted to stay up all night. But as we get older, we're making everybody else go to bed early also.
Okay.
But just put it that way.
You don't want to enhance it like you used to.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. That's right. I think back in the day, we probably got a couple hours sleep the whole weekend, you know, and loved every minute of it.
I'm sure Mom and Dad just appreciated that, too. Oh.
Right.
We have added the chili cook-off and the
cornhole
tournament. We also do patriotic campsites.
Okay.
And judge them.
Oh, nice. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's very family oriented. I mean, mm-hmm. we have security. Just, you know, try to make sure everybody enjoys it, you know.
Yeah.
Not just the people that want to stay up late, you know.
You bet.
There's always something going on. There's roping during the day, and we try to put on the best rodeo we possibly can.
Yes.
Yeah. And you run a bunch of steers during the team roping that day.
Yeah.
During the day.
Yeah. Hundreds. I
mean, hundreds.
Yep.
So gal could sit here all weekend and see something happening just about all the time.
That's the fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for people watching or cowboy watching.
I was going to say people watching out there at the campsites. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was asking the campsites. Is there any ruckus or anything goes on back there? They pretty well police themselves.
They do. They have their own groups that hang together. And a lot of times they have family reunions out there. They all meet up.
Oh, nice.
People from Wisconsin and Michigan come up
together. The one year they had during the day had like a music festival out on the L, we call it the L shape, and people Excellent. Were playing music, and it was just super enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have a question. I know we're wrapping this up. Okay, so question for the Houston family. Okay, when are you going to have the Houston Rodeo Company?
It's been talked about. You can just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. But
I can see the writing on the wall. I don't know. It's not a
Sam, business I will say, for laid heart. I mentioned heart. It earlier. There is a lot of young up-and-comers in our family. So, you know, you would never know. I mean, I have 6 grandchildren. Lum and Carrie have grandchildren.
They love the rodeo.
The future of rodeo in the Houston family is alive and well.
Yep. And we try to still do what Bonnie did when the campers come in. She used to visit with them, ride her horse out to every campsite, find out where they're from, and visit. And the boys try to take the time to do that. They also host a trail ride and try to tell them the fun facts about different areas on the grounds.
Yeah. Yep.
That is
very neat. And what are some of the fun facts that you might point me to if I'm on a trail ride?
Oh, deer hunting blinds.
Yeah.
We used to have an eagle nest.
Yeah. Wow. My mother's old horse is buried out there, and we got it, the gravesite marked. And
with a big cross.
We could talk about that forever, you know, her old horse.
And what was her old horse's name?
That one was Toby.
Toby.
And
the one before that was Cowboy.
Yep.
Always had horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, she could ride. She could ride very well.
And ran barrels against her kids and grandkids and
team rope.
And she also did the shooting.
The mounted shooting?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was later in life, but she was dead eye.
Yeah. She really was, and I could tell you some stories about that. Maybe after we get off here, I'll tell you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One just in the arena, maybe?
Nope.
And I was walking through a truck stop one day and seen her picture on the cover of the magazine.
Oh, that's yes. Right.
I said, that's wow, right. Look at this. Right. I know with this lady.
And I think if you recall that picture, she had a bullwhip in her hand, and she knew how to use it.
Well, she had some boys to straighten up.
She did. and she kept us straight. So.
Yes, that was on the Road King magazine with the trucks, because they have livestock trucks.
Yeah, yeah. And I heard a story. Was it Saturday night? Who was telling me the story? That she jumped in the truck with Laredo and went out to the truck stops and picked up some magazines?
Yep, that would have been, I think, with Dallas.
He ran
all the way to California and back. And, yep, she would pick up magazines all the way out there and all the way back.
And the story goes he was worried he'd be overloaded because of so many magazines.
Doug, I said I wasn't going to tell this story, but I will about my mom. Me and her come up here one day, and I was always riding colts up here, so I rode out across the field, and I seen a dead bird in the middle of the cow pasture that probably wasn't supposed to be shot. And I come back up, and I kind of was, I say upset, but I just said to my mom, I said, "Mom, somebody shot a bird out there." And she said, "Yeah, with a pistol on horseback," she said. So
that's a cowgirl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good story. Yeah. That's a great story.
So,
best way to follow you guys, website.
We're on Facebook, Houston Cow Camp Rodeo, and we try to update, you know, seasonally.
Yeah, yeah.
Closer towards Labor Day.
We're kind of bad about, we all have our own things to do, and Lemon Carry with the trucks, and us with cattle, so we don't really get into the rodeo mode till about 2-3 weeks before, and then we jump right into her.
But so, it's always on the back of our minds.
Oh,
and
you
if
bet.
We can do something at home that's even beneficial for here, we bring it up here to do it. You know,
you bet.
But it, like you said during the wedding, what a reunion that was. Yeah. And I do, and I said to you, Doug, as far as I said how I love the history of the rodeo business, and but I can just think back of all the cowboys that have rode up here and been a part of this, and it's just an endless list of who's who of rodeo.
You've been, you know, a lot of greats have come through this arena.
Oh, sure has.
The years.
Yes.
And a good win here propels you down the road towards the finals.
Yeah, you bet. Yep.
Yeah, tons of history up here. And what a great facility to come and spend a long weekend. You can come in, even though it's Labor Day weekend, you can come in a day before. You can stay a day or so after. Bring your families and maybe your families of campers, all the ones, as Carrie said, they had reunions here. Folks coming in from different states to gather up in their own family reunions here. And something's happening in the arena all day long. And as Star and Carrie have said, good food trucks all over the place, and great time for the family. Just a great time for the family. So that's Labor Day weekend. Opens up Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Come out and watch some great IPRA rodeo. Let's make this the 2024 IPRA Outdoor Rodeo of the Year. Let's keep that tradition going. What do you think?
I think that would be great, and that's what we're going to be shooting for.
There you go. Got to have goals.
Yes.
Got to have goals. Bonnie would like that.
Yep.
She would have been proud.
Yep, and we often think of that, you know.
That
I mean,
they're both looking down on us.
Yeah, looking down and just how happy they would be of where this is all gone, and how the whole family is jumping right in. And in fact, me and Carrie are the older group now, I would say.
Oh, definitely.
So, and there's just a line up behind us of the younger people willing to take over.
And you can follow them on Cow Camp.
Yeah, Houston Cow Camp Rodeo.
On Facebook,
yep. And Houston is spelled H-U-G-H-S-T-O-N.
Perfect.
One last thing. I had a horse that I think Trace was the first one to ever get on.
Yeah.
Was live, and I called her Miss Houston.
Oh, a wonderful tribute.
Awesome.
No. And you spelled it H-U-G-H?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Because I don't spell good, so. But a beautiful, beautiful black roan. And he placed on her at St. Tit. So that's how she got her name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's excellent. And to all of our listeners, we hope that you enjoyed our visit with Star Houston and Carrie Houston. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been great to have you on and learn the history of rodeo. And yes, our friends at the IRA Project Facebook page, rodeo is alive and well in the state of Michigan. Not only is it going on here, as we said, we're sending them out to the world. All these Michigan rodeo athletes, they're coming your way. Reminder, check us out on the IRA Project Facebook page. And I want to say thank you to Parasite Systems for all they do for us to support our podcast. Parasite System is a push-button parasitic diagnostic system for your pasture animals, your horses, cattle, goats, sheep, chickens, and for your companion animals, your dogs and your cats. Now they're offering mail-in testing for your dogs and cats. Take a sample, send it in, request a kit, and you can request one of these mail-in kits, Parasite, SIGHT, systems.com. Check them out. And we have a coupon code, BTC023, for 50% off of your mail-in kits. And this is Beyond the Chutes with...
Star Houston.
Carrie Houston.
Sam Schwern.
This is Doug Simcox. Until next time, thank you for listening.